So glad to see all of you. Praise the Lord. Now, how many are glad that it's me first? All right. I don't know. I look at today, people have become a bit more cautious, okay, when those restrictions have been lifted up. All right. Now, we are coming almost the end of our series, okay, and that is called Apostles' Creed. Okay, say with me, the Apostles' Creed. Okay, what we have covered so far, right now, some people came to me and asked about, okay, Pastor, is that Catholic right now? So let me just say a few more times, okay, in case you missed that. Now, so what we have covered, we have covered part one, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Yes, right? How many of you believe in God? What do you believe? He is the Father Almighty. He's a maker of everything. Whatever you have, all right, is a maker now. Second part I talk about, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. So this is very important statement. Okay, so we cover that. Now, I'm not going to repeat everything, all right? So you go back to either Facebook or YouTube, okay, to listen to the message. Now, then we do a jump, okay, but to continue at this same page is that part five was Easter, all right, where Pastor Posing came, talked about his suffering under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, buried, descended to hell, and third day he rose again from the dead. So when people ask you, what do you believe? Today we sang the song, okay, what do you believe? Okay, so this was a part five. Now, the second part is where, which is a part three, the third week, I talk about I believe in the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I took two Sundays, okay, just to talk about how should we believe in the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. I hope that helps you as well, all right? Now, then, last week we have AJ, okay, to talk about that, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I don't know whether it still lingers in your mind how your body will be, okay, the resurrected body or the glorified body right now. The end of the day, if you look at 1 Thessalonians, is that you got to preserve, okay, your spirit, soul, and body to keep it blameless, okay? That is the goal, all right? Now, of course, taking care of body, you're superb. No gym, never mind, you still run, do kind of exercise. Diet has become very conscious for many, all right? So when you go and order your drinks, kopi mai teng eh, okay, now, kopi kosong, whatever, so you minus less sugar and all those, you are very conscious of your body. But there's part that when it comes to church, we talk about your spirit, how you feed, okay, your spirit body. Now, we left these two part. One is this one, and here, the Holy Catholic Church. Now, many people were wondering, Pastor, why Catholic? Are we Roman Catholic? Now, this word Catholic is a generic word, all right? The Catholic means universal, not Roman Catholic, all right? Now, so which Catholic has this original meaning, does not refer to any denomination. In Greek, because this was already existed in that sense, it means that throughout all time and space, which means points to the essential unity and the wholeness of the Church of Jesus Christ, all right? So we're going to talk about the last part, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and Casey's going to do that after Mother's Day, all right? Okay, so don't miss that. In case you come back, Roman Catholic Church. Okay, now it means the universal church. Today, I'm going to cover this, all right? He ascended, read with me, He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, for there He will come to judge the living and the dead. Let us pray. Father, today I commit all of us into Your hands as we look into this portion of Apostle Creed. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means, okay, Jesus ascended, seated, okay, that He will come, okay, and judge the living and the dead. I give thanks. I sing the Holy Spirit to teach us, guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone say, Amen. Now, when we look at this Apostles' Creed, it always have this line that say, I believe. Remember in first part one, I talk about I believe. It's not talking about I know, I suggest to you. No, it's about your believing. Okay, your believing. So how many of you remember when I first started? All right, I give you this phrase that says that your believing determines your behavior. Yes. Okay, whatever that your behavior is because it's part of your believing. Okay, now, which isn't it true that if your core beliefs is about money, no, every decision that you make, everything you see is about how you gain. True. And whatever venture you go in, your question will be, what's in there for me? Now, let me ask you a question, all right? If I need volunteers, and I have this pile of wood and buckets of nail, okay? I need volunteers to have this nail and nail on it. And you have to do it for 5 days, 8 hours a day. How many of you will volunteer? Wow, only Mingtian, okay. Mingtian, 5 days only, can ah? 5 days, okay, Mingtian. Okay, all right, now, let me change the way I say it all right now. If I were to pay you 1,000 and work for 5 days, just kneel, take the kneel and kneel to the plank, how many of you will respond? Oh, I got more takers now. All right. Not too many also, okay. For 5 days only. 5 days. 5 days only. 5 days, okay. Got more takers now. What if I said I will supply you all the materials to build a house, and I give you 1 year, okay, to complete it. After you have done, I will give you 1 million. Wow. How many? What I'm trying to say is that your believing determines how you behave, and what you believe drives how you behave. In other words, if there's something you're looking forward, okay, it's always about, okay, this is supposed to be a picture, okay, it's about life. Your life, if it's without hope, is meaningless. When you think about whatever that you're doing right now, is it something you look forward or you drag your feet, okay, to work? What are you looking forward? How do you see the future? Okay, that's what, okay, I'm trying, okay, to say, because what we believe about the future dictates how we live our lives today. Isn't it true? All right. If there's nothing you're looking forward each day and each day or each year, then the sense of hopelessness and meaningless will always, okay, be there. All right. So what we believe about the future dictates how we live our lives today. All right. Now, when you read the Bible, I don't know how you feel, okay, the people who believe in Christ in those days, in the early days, how they can withstand the persecution, how they could go through those suffering. Okay, they've been tortured, some of them been thrown in the lion's den, some have been sawn into two, because they believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe because they believe about the future, about Jesus Christ, and how they dictate their life, and that they could give their life, okay, to the Lord. So question is, what kept them going? And for us, what keep us going? All right. So today, as I talk about this phrase, okay, he ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God and Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take these four parts. What it means by Jesus ascended, seated, and he will come and judge. All right, and then look how we can apply that in our life. All right, so we're going to explore this fourth segment. Now, reading from Acts 1 verse 9 to 11. Okay, that says, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I'm just wondering, okay, whatever that I'm going to cover today or this morning is just half an hour. It won't do justice, okay, in finding out how Jesus ascended, why he come again to judge, all right, and why is he seated, all right. So in this half an hour, okay, see what best we can do, all right. Otherwise, we have to do seminar. Okay, now, let's move on. Now, number one, four segments, okay, that we're going to explore. Number one, Jesus ascended to heaven. You know, when for as young as every one of us, when you read that, right, my mind is like, wow, there's Superman. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, now. Now, before Acts 1, the same author that wrote this is none other than Luke. So the transition that takes place from Luke, okay, to Acts, in fact, is the same author, Okay, now let's look at Luke chapter 24 because that will give you some background, okay, of what's happening. All right, now in verse 44, there are a number of scripture reading, okay, that we're going to do. All right, now verse 44, he said that this is what I told you while I was still with you. Who is speaking here? Jesus, huh? Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds to so they could understand the scripture. So this was Jesus, okay, with the disciples telling them. Now, verse 46, he told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Then, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So even before Acts 1:8, okay, when the power on high will come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, okay, Jerusalem, Judea, some area where you are here, all right, and to the ends, okay, the earth. Even before the Acts 1:8, it's already prelude, all right, in Luke 24, beginning at Jerusalem, in verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. So, when you read the Bible, like the Gospel, these are people who are eyewitnesses. When you're talking about the disciples, they live with Jesus. All right, they see Jesus. Okay, how would the disciples respond to Jesus when Jesus said, come, follow me? How could they just leave their net immediately and follow Jesus? Because they already heard about Jesus. Jesus' fame has gone out. How Jesus has preached, teach, and miracles, okay, that are taking place. All right, everybody that he calls, okay, they are the chosen 12, okay, to follow, okay, Jesus. Now, continue reading, verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So, here Jesus already telling them, I'm going already. The promise is given. You read in John, I'm going away, so I'm sending the Holy Spirit. All right, I'm going to the Father. Okay, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. In verse 50, when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany. Okay, Bethany is like in the Mount, in one side of the Mount Olives. Okay, that's where, okay, the town is. Now, go until that vicinity. He lifted up his hand. He blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up, okay, into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Wow. Thinking about Jesus leaving, right? Thinking about them would be sad. But no. The Bible recorded that the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Because God has commanded them to stay. Because the power on high is going to come upon them. Alright? So this is the scenario. This is the background. So in other words, when you look at Luke and Acts, this is literally you see that Jesus was taken up into heaven. Okay, the idea of Jesus lifted up, okay, in the air. So all of us never get to witness there for sure. But here this record, right, tell us that, okay, how many of us understand that when we read the Bible, it's also historical account. Okay, so in other words, Christianity is a historical religion, okay, because it's real history that's taking place. So they actually saw, the disciples actually saw Jesus rise and disappeared, okay, in the clouds. Okay, now, they actually saw the ascended body, okay, of Jesus, okay, not spirit, but his glorified body. Okay, the same body that was crucified, the same body, okay, that was raised incorruptible, that body, okay, of the Lord Jesus that ascended to heaven. Okay, all right now. Question is, what does that mean? When Jesus ascended to heaven, that means that is Jesus gloriously or his glorified body returned to God the Father. So that's why when Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. So this is a promise or statement that he has made is going back to the Father. When he go back to the Father, who comes? So only when he go back to the Father, then Holy Spirit will come. That's why he has to wait, okay, for the Holy Spirit to come. Okay, you see the sequence now? Now, so with that, it simply means that is the final proof of his completed work on earth. Okay, to be back, okay, to heaven. Simply means Jesus goes back to heaven. Okay, by means of ascension, that is Jesus' triumphant return to heaven, signal the days of his suffering on earth is over. That means no more crown of thorn, no more beatings, okay, no more insult, and all this because the work is done. So when he is in heaven, what happened? We're going to go to the next one. That he became the great high priest, okay, the position of the great high priest. He became the king sitting on the throne. Okay, in other words, there's no longer need to offer any more sacrifices, blood sacrifices, animal sacrifices in the temple. That's also the reason why when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn from the top, okay, to bottom. All right? Now you have the bonus to enter the presence of God. All right? Now, with Jesus now in heaven means he guarantees the security of God's people and presence. Right? Which means what? When we say, if we die and go to heaven, oh, Jesus is there. Jesus has become the eldest brother. He's our big brother who has gone, okay, and make way for us. So when we return to heaven, or when we call to heaven, means, okay, we are received, okay, in the presence of God. Amen. Now, it's only that Jesus is waiting for the time set by God the Father, okay, to come back the second time. All right? Now, there are much written about the birth, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Yes, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, Christmas. Get ready for Christmas. Now it's April, but talk about Christmas already. Okay, now. We talk about the death and resurrection, Easter. But we don't celebrate Ascension Day. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, now. But if you were to look at the calendar liturgy world, if you look and you key in, Google it in, when is Ascension Day? There's such thing called Ascension Day. We don't really practice that, okay? But if you look at the Bible talks about Jesus, okay, after resurrection, there were 40 days, okay, on earth. And if you will calculate that, this year will be May 26, Okay, now. That's not the main issue. Okay, now. The thing is that Jesus is ascended to heaven. And this is an important line, okay, so that the rest of things will take place. Okay, so Jesus ascended to heaven. Number two, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Now, how many of you, when you're at home, you have your most rightful chair that you sit in the dining table? No. there are some of you like, oh, this one is father's chair, please. Nobody there to sit, correct? Okay. If you are the boss in a company, that is your table and that's your chair. If any of your employee go and sit your chair, what does that mean? Wow, lawan tauke, yeah. All right. And many of us, when we come to church, you have a rightful spot. Well, if somebody take over your spot, maybe you'll be song already. All right, now. Jesus has a place in heaven, and Bible tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand. But what does that mean, that Jesus is seated at the right hand? Here, we can also conclude that Jesus is exalted, he is glorified, and he is enthroned. So in the ancient world, okay, probably many of us watch movies and all those, when the king wished to honor someone, okay, he will have him offered to sit at his left, right, okay, right, at his right place, all right? The seat will be like the highest seat, the greatest honor a king could offer to anyone, to be seated at the right hand. Okay, now, which also means that when Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, okay, Jesus has a permanent place in heaven. Okay, Jesus ascended and seated right now. Number two, Jesus' work of redemption is now complete. So when Jesus said it's finished, that means he's to return already. He came on earth, died on the cross, he completed his work, it's finished, and he returns. All right, now, this is important because, do you know that when God designed the tabernacle in the Old Testament, how many of us realize that there's no chair in that temple or in that tabernacle? Okay, the priest is to perform, okay, sacrifices every day. All right? And the priest is not to rest. The priest is continue to do what he's required to do. All right? And there's no chair, okay, to allow for this priest to sit. So when we have this phrase of Jesus seated on the right hand of God, Jesus seated, that means the work is done. It is finished. If you are working, you continue work. Anybody is cooking, you take a chair, sit down there, cooking. Anyone? Okay. All right now. You will not want to rest. You will not want to eat until it's done. Yes. All right. Now, I know many times, even myself, and so busy with whatever things they're doing, when your family members keep on asking, stop, eat. But somehow, okay, I wouldn't, or anyone of you wouldn't. You want your job to be completed before, okay, you eat. Now, so this is important because, all right, Jesus' work is done and now he is seated, all right? In other words, his work is done, is finished, is paid in full. Okay, are y'all okay? All right, now, Third one is that Jesus is now in the place of supreme and highest honor in the universe. So, we live in a country, we have kings. Okay, when the king comes, where will he sit? He will walk and he will sit in the throne. All right. Now that is a symbolize that he is the king. He is the king of all kings. All right. Now Philippians 2, missing that one. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. So in other words, each time when you pray, right, Jesus seated on the throne. Whatever worst scenario that you're going through, because it could be shock to you, it can be a worst scenario to you, Jesus is seated. When Jesus here, he's not going to fall off from his throne. You know what I mean? All right? Because he is the King of Kings. Okay? He is seated. All right? Now, at the outpouring of Holy Spirit, Peter preached this right now. That says this. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourself are seeing and hearing. So, talking about Holy Spirit. So, he's seated, exalted, seated. Then the Holy Spirit comes, all right? Now, verse 34. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies at your footstool. Now, what is Peter saying? Peter is saying that the people of Israel, that the Lord, talking about whom David was speaking. So when you think about David, okay, David is saying that, David did not ascend to heavens. Because David is not the Jesus, all right? Now, although it may sound that way, all right? But David is saying this, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So when Peter was saying, Jesus is referring to what David is saying, David did not ascend heaven, but it's referring to Jesus, okay? It's ascended, okay, to the rightful place, okay? And is telling the people that the Messiah is more than the son of David, all right? He is divine. He's exalted at the right hand, represent his present heavenly rule, God's right hand. I hope you all catch it. Huh? All right, now, that's right hand of God, which means when he's seated, means he's the kingship. He's the King of Kings. He has the power. He has authority to subdue all enemies. All right, now, which also means if Jesus ascended to heaven, he is not bound by time and space. Can you get it? When Jesus was on earth for the 3 years, he is in that physical mode. He's bound by that space and time. So when he is ascended, send the Holy Spirit. So in other words, okay, he's no longer subject to given space and time. So if Jesus did not ascend or sit at a right hand after resurrection, which means what? If you want to see Jesus, what will you do? I mean, Jesus probably was still in Jerusalem. You have to buy your air ticket to go and see him. Can you see that? So Jesus is no longer subject, to time and space. But that also means, that we can experience the presence and the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That makes our prayer, powerful, all right? Now, so with that, Jesus can help you. Whatever situation you're in, fear, anxiety, struggles, frustration, conflict, doubt, all those, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God and he has sent the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, In other words, who then is one who condemns no one? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. So what is Jesus doing? He is praying for you and me. He's interceding, okay, for all of us. God's power is available to every believer because Jesus is ruling and reigning over the entire universe. Is it good so far? He ascended, he's seated. Now, the promise is such when that phrase or when Acts 1, the two angels say that the way Jesus go up, he will come back the same way. So in other words, number three, Jesus will return. Say with me, return. Anything you send out, would you want to come back? You want it to come back, right? So, to return. So in Acts 1:11, the second part, this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven. Wow, that will be just magnificent, okay, to come to that day, all right, now. Zechariah 14 verse 4 in, already prophesied, okay, in the book of Zechariah. Let's read and hear what it says. Huh? On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives. All right, where did Jesus ascended? Mount of Olives. All right, now, have you been to Mount of Olives? I have been. But to ask the tour agent is that, is this the spot? Like, is this the spot? He said, don't ask me. Okay, all right now. Where am I now? Okay, now. I'm right here. Okay, now. From east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. We may not understand all those, but on that feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. Then continue to say, then the Lord will come and all the holy ones with him. That means his army will be coming. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one in his name. One. Because we're going to talk about judgment day, all right, now. So that will be like second. You hear words like second coming. You hear words like the day of the Lord, the wrath day, all right, referring to that moment, all right, now. So in this mountain, on this very mountain, this very location, okay, even when King David wept and where Jesus was betrayed, rejected, and ascended will be the place where Jesus returned. So when we had the opportunity to be at Jerusalem, Edwin, Sue, who else are posting? We all. So we were walking through this Mount of Olives, coming to the Garden of Gethsemane. From there, we could see the temple. We were shown, okay, how Good Friday. Prior to Good Friday, where was Jesus? Which one is the trail, okay, that Jesus was walking, okay, and until he entered, okay, the triumphal entry, okay, of Jesus, all right, now. So the very place, okay, on this mountain, okay, Jesus will come back and return, okay, in triumph. Now, on this mountain itself, while Jesus was in Jerusalem, he also gave a teaching of his second coming. Okay, to draw some attention to y'all will be, what did Jesus say about his second coming? All right, now, his second coming will be visible. Say with me, visible. It's not something that is hiding. Ding, ding. Not Pink Panther coming. Ta-dang, ta-dang. No, it's not. Huh? Matthew 24, verse 27, it says, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so the whole world will know. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, it's visible. All right. So you hear anything about hiding and all those? No, it's not. Right? Bible says it's visible. Number two, it is unexpected. Matthew 24, verse 36. It's always like this. Something that you expect will never come. Unexpected, they will come. All right, now. Your friends say, came on, coming, but never come. Suddenly he appeared. Okay, now. But what about the day and hour? No one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So when Jesus was saying that, right, he's still in physical, right, until he meets the Father. All right, now. It is sudden. Matthew 24, verse 20. We're going to read the whole chapter of chapter 24 of Matthew. So you will also be ready because the Son of Man will come at hour when you do not expect. It will be sudden. Okay? It will be glorious. 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. It's coming. It will be glorious. And it will be loud. So it's not quiet, friends. When Jesus comes back, it's not quiet. And then you appear in heaven and the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What did I say loud? The next verse. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet. I got to learn how to play trumpet. Okay. And they will gather his elect from the four wings, I mean, from all over the corner of the earth and from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus talked about his second coming, how it should be, okay, second coming. All right? Now, what do we do? Friends, Jesus also warned us. Warned us what? Okay, verse 6 says that you will hear of wars and rumors of war. Are you hearing today? Yes. See that you are not alarmed. Don't get panicked. Okay? For this must take place, but the end is not yet. Okay, don't be alarmed. Don't get panicked. Don't go and chase after all kinds of signs and wonders. There's no end one. You go and search people who predict, okay, of Jesus coming. All right? We are still waiting. They predict until people are not excited about Jesus coming. So you're going to be very sudden. All right? Now, we must be ready and be alert and be productive while we are still alive awaiting, okay, Christ's return. All right? So watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch. Okay, tell your neighbor left and right, I'm watching you. Okay, okay. Now, Mark 13 says, be on guard, keep awake, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. Wow, those who didn't sleep when you stay awake. But what does that mean? You got to be ready. You got to be doing something. Not hiding, not sleeping, not sell everything, not doing nothing, all right? Be on guard, okay? And be ready for the coming of the Lord. All right, now, what's the time now? Okay. Give me 5 minutes. Okay, now, I mean, it's real. This one was interesting. Okay, now, this is the Eastern Gate. Okay, so Jerusalem, the wall has many gates, all right? I think at least 8. And it was the Eastern Gate. And our local tour guide was saying, they all see over there? I was looking. Oh, that's the Eastern Gate. It has been blocked for I don't know how many hundreds of years because they believe that when Jesus returns, Jesus is going to come through this gate. So they block it so that Jesus won't come in. So they're saying that this is the gate where Jesus came in as a donkey, right? The triumphal entry. And the very same gate, okay, you go and study, okay, interesting, all right? So some will argue this is not the gate's not here, and all those. But the point is that Jesus is coming back, okay, all right, now. Number 4, as I end. Okay, now, so hard to talk about now, okay, 5 minutes. Okay, now, Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. Okay, a few scripture that will tell us that he's the judge. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge. 2 Timothy 4:1 tells us that Jesus is the judge, okay, of the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. So he will come back, okay, to judge. Before that, I probably want to read Revelation 20. I did put up here. This will be the final judgment. I was trying to look at, there are multiple judgments that will take place. But this one will be the final judgment, Revelation 20. If you can turn to that, okay, Revelation 20, 11 to 15, okay, that says, that I saw a great white throne, and him was seated. Okay. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great, and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was open. Oh, so there are many books. All right, now, probably two here. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. So whatever you have done is recorded, if you discover here. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. So some people say, Pastor, you died already in the sea, boat gone already. Or nowadays when people pass away, they cremate and then they will throw, okay, the ashes to the sea. What happened there? All right, now, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them according to what they had done. So remember what you done on earth. Okay, the dead and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So this is talking about the final judgment. So some of us were thinking, has judgment started? Yeah, in certain way. But that one is the final judgment, the judgment seat, okay, of Christ. So showing you John 3:16. So each time when we read this, it's a kind of judgment, you know, right? Because it's a choice that each one got to make. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes. So when, if you believe, you shall not perish and have eternal life. But when you choose not to believe, what happens? You'll perish and have no eternal life. We all memorize verse 16. We don't memorize verse 17. Verse 17 means God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. It's not Jesus' goal, okay, for him to come to earth. Because his job at that moment is not to condemn, all right? Now, in order that the world might be saved to him, just Jesus came to save. So, which means salvation is only on earth. Decision to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, has to be on earth, not after you die. All right? So, this is very clear, all right? Now, verse 18. Okay, 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. So, if you're talking about judgment, this one is really happening on earth right now because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. In other words, 46. And this will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So, you can roughly imagine when you appear before God, first is whether you have accepted Jesus on earth. So when you come up, okay, is your eternal life, if you have received Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. If not, that is eternal punishment. All right. Now, during the week, I also received some questions about judgment. Okay, people ask if a good person, okay, if a good person dies and never know God, how will God judge him? Will he go to heaven and go to heaven and hell? What's the answer? Very good. No, this person very good, very kind. Oh. But never come to know Jesus or never receive Jesus. In other words, he has not received salvation. All right. So the very reason Jesus came to die for us is to redeem us on earth, not after earth. All right. Afterward is judgment. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:9. Okay. So, how do we live? So, whether we are at home or away, home away, okay, we make it our aim to please him. How do we live on earth? Make it your aim to please him. That means to honor him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So, it's very consistent, even to Revelation chapter 20. All right? Now, when you think about whether there's any condemnation, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ because of the believing. All right? Jesus is waiting. Do you know Jesus is waiting for you? Jesus is waiting because he has a reward for each and every one of us. So in Revelation 22, verse 12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward, okay, is with me to give to everyone according to his word." Are you okay? All right. Now, many more to say. All right, now. As I end, this, what have I gone through with y'all just now? When Jesus ascended, he took his rightful place, the throne. He is the king. Okay? Now, when he is seated at right hand, the Bible tells us when he is seated, he this one main job that he's doing. He interceding for each and every one of us. He became the priest. All right? But then one day, he's going to come back. And that day when he comes back, he's the judge. And he will come and judge the living and the dead. Question for all of us. Do you know your king? Do you know we have a priest who understands whatever things that we are going through and he's praying for us? But don't miss this. If we miss the king, we miss the priest, we're going to meet the judge. And that's very real. Are you ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. Father, as we look into this passage of the Apostle Creed, we know so much about the birth of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection that we talk about both Christmas and Easter. We seldom talk about how Jesus ascended, how Jesus seated, and how he's coming back, and about him being the judge. Father, I pray, Lord God, Lord, that each and every one of us will come, okay, to a place, live a life, make an aim in our life, okay, to please you every day of our life. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we live a life so honored you. Father, I pray, Lord God, Lord, even recognize who you are. You are the King. You are the Lord of our life. That every compartment of life belongs to you. That we surrender our life to you. And we know, Lord, as you are seated at the right hand of God, you are praying and you are interceding for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for praying for us. All the more, God, Lord, we know that in your word says that Jesus will return one day. And when he comes back, he will judge both the living and the dead. Quicken us, Lord. Quicken us, Lord, to bring this message of Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the salvation, Lord, to those who yet to know you. Father, help us, Lord, okay, to be ready, to be aware, okay, to stay awake. And I pray, Lord, even as your word says, to know when are you coming. It's going to be visible, it's going to be sudden, it's going to be unexpected, it's going to be glorious, it's going to be loud. But what are we to do? Father, I pray, Lord God, Lord, that we will follow what the Bible says, that says that the gospel, okay, of the kingdom, okay, must be proclaimed throughout the whole world, that this testimony, okay, to all the nation, and then the end will come. Father God, I pray for all of us that we will be ready, that we will be aware, okay, of who you are, and the days will come. Father, we give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen.
Amen. Amen.